Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up.
Prime Day es el 16 y 17 de julio. Con las ofertas épicas exclusivas para miembros Prime, recibe el reconocimiento que tanto mereces.
¡Wow! Gracias. Ni siquiera preparé un discurso.
Quisiera agradecer a mi familia, que siempre necesita cosas. También a Sam, mi repartidor, por entregarme todas mis ofertas increíbles tan rápido. ¡Te adoro, Sam! ¡Mua!
Compra ofertas en electrónicos, hogar y más este Prime Day, del 16 al 17 de julio.
This is the Zabecast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go! Tuesday, May 14, 2024. Thank you for downloading. Andy Poland comes up in just a moment. I'm almost getting over whatever I've got here, this bronchial infection of sorts. And I finally called in the big guns, the good Sudafed. You know, the Sudafed that you gotta give your license to the pharmacist for. It's not quite over the counter, but they're not just going to let you try to steal a bunch of packages of it, lest Walter White go and cook up a bunch of crystal blue meth with it. So that said, I'm getting over it because, oh man, ain't nothing like Sudafed. Normally I take the small little red tabs with the good stuff, the hard, the full strength Sudafed with the pseudoephedrine and their 4-hour release. They were out of that at the pharmacy, and so they only had the 12-hour ones, the big tabs, so I'm on one of those. And the pharmacist said, and by the way, you'll be taking one of these every 12 hours. And I said, says you! It does give you a buzz. It does give you a high. It gives you energy. It gives you, I think, focus to get shit done. I was knocking stuff out today, even though I'm still kind of a little bit congested. But between that and the Halls Black, you know, Sudafed, full strength, Halls Black, clear eyes, full heart, can't lose. Clear eyes, full heart, gotta get over this cold. Oh, there's my GERD again. My GERD has been largely absent since I've been sick, which is weird. I'm thinking, is it because maybe I've got post-nasal drip that is going down into my larynx, whatever it is, and coating it with a little bit of disgusting but otherwise soothing slimy goo? Once this clears up, am I now going to return to my GERDian ways? I don't know, but I'm slowly getting better, and I thank you for caring about it, which I don't think you do. Malbon Golf is a clothing company that has Jason Day as their spokesperson. They're new and they're trying to be different. And boy, are they different. But with each week that comes out and with each outfit that they dress Jason Day in, I'm starting to think either this is one long, elaborate hoax that is being filmed for a TV show or a Netflix series that we don't even know about yet, or whoever started Malbon Golf is trying to pull off the producers-like tank job. For those who don't know, the movie The Producers, 1967 American classic, written and directed by Mel Brooks. And it's about a bunch of con artist theater producers and accountants who scheme a way to get rich by fraudulently overselling interests in a stage musical yet to be released, but one in which they purposely designed it to fail. They find a script celebrating Adolf Hitler and the Nazis and said, ah, this would be perfect. The play they would put on would be called Springtime for Hitler, a gay romp with Adolf and Eva at Berchtesgaden. It's a funny movie that became a cult classic. In the movie itself, the play did not make any money, ended in disaster, and the partners went to jail. Maybe that's what Malbon is doing. There is no way, looking at what Jason Day is wearing, that you can say, yeah, no, that looks great. I think you'll sell a bunch of that. They can say we want to appeal to a younger demographic. They can say we're trying to do something different from the stodgy old shirts that your old man wears when he's cutting the grass, when he's done playing at his muni. But are you going to sell any? Jason Day showed up to the latest tournament at the Wells Fargo with what looked like some kind of heavy, loose, thick cotton number in just sort of earth tones that looked like he was a backup singer in a Havana house band. But hey, looks good on you, as the saying goes in Caddyshack. Has Paul Pierce gotten too comfortable on air? I would say the answer to that is yeah, duh. Paul Pierce on Fox Sports Undisputed with Skip Bayless, who's already on his last strike at this point, so he's got to toe the line, is there watching, already since fired from ESPN, Paul Pierce, because of that super high as a kite stripper party that went viral, maybe try to sabotage his latest television job. Because here's what he said, and there is one key word that starts with an N that has been redacted from this little point he's making about one Dante DiVincenzo.
First three games. Look at this. Key. DiVincenzo.
There it is right there. And nobody flinches. They're almost like, did he just say what I think he said? Now, you'll hear it clipped out, so it sounds like it's nothing in this bite.
First three games. Look at this. Key. DiVincenzo was averaging 29 points per game, 50% from the field.
Okay, and he goes on from there, and they don't even react like, I didn't hear anything.
Look at this, Key.
So this is a tough one, and I'll have to bring it up with Jay about this. I know Jay told me to sit it out on the whole issue with Drake and Kendrick Lamar, but this one I feel like, you know, us whiteys need a seat at the table here. This word is the most venomous snake in the wild for anyone in professional life and business, where one bite, one utterance is fatal almost universally. It's the, dare I say, Black Mamba of, okay, I'm sorry. Too far, not good. It's the King Cobra of single words in the English language. And yet we know as white guys that, you know, African Americans, brothers of comfort with each other, will use the word as a bit of a colloquial term to mean this guy. Look at this guy, and they use that other horrible word that is the most feared and fatal and venomous word in the wild for anyone who is not black. Question: should Paul Pierce be fired for this? It's a tough one. I mean, you would have to be applying white standards to a black guy who clearly does not give a fuck. And it's a show that is floundering ever since Shannon Sharp left. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't even know what they should do. But it does tell me that Paul Pierce, it's good to be comfortable on air. It's good to be comfortable in front of a microphone. That's when your best stuff can come out. The trick to this, what I do and what others do, is to just make this the microphone, melt away and disappear. So you forget that you're on the air. Once you start thinking about everything you say and how you say it, then nothing good is going to come from that. It's going to be terrible radio, terrible podcasting, terrible TV. I'm glad Paul Pierce is comfortable. Maybe a bit too comfortable. Maybe a producer will have to pull him aside, preferably a black producer, and say, listen, Paul, I know what you meant by that. But you see, yeah, you know, we got people that are now making a big deal of this. So we're just not going to use that word, even when you use it and mean it in a friendly fashion. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. And with that, let's say hello to my man, Andy Paulin.
Hello.
Hello, Andy. You're live on the Zabecast. We're rolling right into it. How are you doing on this glorious Monday?
Oh, it is a glorious Monday. Oh, Chamber of Commerce.
Chamber of Commerce, man. This is why people live in the area. No question about it. It's the 11 days just like this out of the 365 we get. So don't dawdle. Get outside if you're living in the DMV right now because it is beautiful. All right. We've covered a lot already without you on the pod, including a reference to the great Mel Brooks movie, The Producers. I'm convinced that the Malbon Golf Clothing Company is trying to pull a Producers and make the worst golf clothes ever, to then go straight to bankruptcy and somehow profit from that. You plausible?
Know, you might as well be talking about something on Mars because I don't buy good golf clothing. I don't buy bad golf clothing.
I know. But did you see The Producers?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah, of course. Yes. Of course.
I know the concept. Yeah. Yeah. You insure the play and you try to produce a flop and you collect the insurance money. But fortunately or unfortunately for The Producers, it became a hit. Springtime with Hitler. Who knew?
Right. Okay. So that said, do you think Paul Pierce should get fired for dropping the N-bomb talking about Dante DiVincenzo? I just did that story as well before I brought you on.
And he did this on what network? Because that'd I'm not...
Fox. I saw it just minutes ago. I played the audio and it was on Undisputed this morning. Do you want to hear it just for reference sake?
Sure.
Okay. You know, the N-word is redacted. So It can't harm us, two old white men.
First three games. Look at this. Key. DiVincenzo was averaging.
They clipped it out of there, but that's where I used it.
You know, Stephen A. Smith had something like this maybe 15 years ago.
He followed it with a please, if I recall.
Yeah, that's what I recall as well. And he did survive it. I don't know. Do you think he's big enough to survive this, Paul Pierce? I mean, he's already been booted out. He's out of ESPN. So
that's what I'm thinking. Like, he doesn't care. So I don't know how coachable he is. But yeah, it's just one of those things. So have you enjoyed the NBA playoffs the last couple of days?
You know, I have surprised myself in how much NBA playoffs I have watched. And I jumped on board with everybody else. Oh, yeah, it looks like a Minnesota sweep to me.
Right.
Oh, yeah, the Pacers are young and feisty, but they can't beat the Knicks. And now everything's flipped. It's crazy.
Do you feel like the NBA is still putting its thumb on the scale in any way, shape, or form with the playoffs?
I think there's like an implied thing. There's no meeting, like, let's make sure the Knicks get through. But I think there's something in the backs of the minds of the NBA refs that it would be better if the Knicks moved on. I think there is something to that. Yes.
Is it that they think there's something in the backs of the minds of the refs, or that there is something in front of their faces that has been told to them directly? Hey, we're not doing that.
No, I don't think it was that. I think it's more like, for the good of the league, they know it's better if the Knicks are in the finals than the Pacers, and they just sort of have that little bit of shading every time they make a call.
Yeah. Of the four games on Sunday, how many players do you think got to even five fouls, much less six?
Yeah, it almost never happens now. One of my favorite images.
The answer is one. The answer is one. And I said, look, you know, if this is how you're going to officiate the league, you're going to get a very roughly played game that involves a lot of frustration from players going, how can that not be a foul? Because they don't want to foul anybody out. You were about to say your favorite lasting image is of what?
The Bullets winning their championship. I know we're going old school here, but 1978, when they beat the Sonics in game seven at Seattle, it was Elvin Hayes dancing off the court wearing his warm-up. Why was he wearing his warm-up? He had fouled out. The top scorer on the Bullets, one of the top players in the NBA. And
future Hall of Famer.
Yep. Fouled out of Game 7 of the NBA Finals. Never would that happen today. And he didn't really even play that much defense. He was an offensive ball hawk.
Oh, if you were to watch a tape or video on YouTube of that 79 finals?
78.
Then you would see the very lightest of contact being called a foul. Much different than today. Defense back in the day was standing straight up and down with your arms in the air, in position. That was considered good enough defense.
You could use your hands, though. You could hand check.
True.
That was another part of it.
Right. So if they were to call the NBA like they did back in the day, what do you think would happen to the product?
Yeah, there wouldn't be stars at the end of the game.
Would it be a worse product because A, it would be bogged down with a lot of free throws and a lot of stoppages, and then you wouldn't have stars at the end? Or would eventually players adjust and go, okay, I know I can't guard that hard, that tenaciously?
Well, there's a lot more fighting in those days. The guys would get frustrated. So there was that. But I really, and also, you never really heard, oh, yeah, well, he's a superstar. They're not going to call a foul on him. You didn't really hear that because, you know, defense really wasn't even talked about that much.
Yeah.
You had certain guys who were known as defensive type of players, but they weren't stars.
Where would you even, quote, hear about it? Sports radio didn't exist. Internet didn't exist. You had the announcers on the games themselves. SportsCenter didn't exist. So other than your local sportscast and or maybe a letter to the editor in the newspaper days later, would you hear anyone say, I can't believe they fouled Elvin Hayes out of the game. You know, he's a superstar after all.
Yeah, well, also, at that time, the most influential people in media were columnists. And columnists were tending to be older guys because they had stayed around long enough to become columnists.
Grizzled vets.
Yeah, and their sports were baseball, horse racing, and boxing.
The big three, right?
Yeah. I mean, they were kind of into the NFL, but, you know, not in any way like they are now. Yeah. And so yeah, there really wasn't. No, there was some analysis. You know, they had Brent Musburger, and he would be paired with a former player, and they did have a guy who really knew the game and was not a former player named Sonny Hill. I think he may even still be doing sports radio in Philadelphia. But you know, Sonny would sometimes
Sunday mornings.
Yeah, he would sometimes give you analysis, and he. You know, he knew a lot of players, and he played summer league, and he was friends with a lot of them. But no, there really wasn't the breakdown and the constant. And you also didn't have what you have now with guys like Barkley looking at game two between Minnesota and Denver and declaring the series a sweep.
Right.
It wasn't a rush to do that in those days.
In related news, it was a bit of a surprise to many of us that, oh, look at this. The lottery just happened on a Sunday afternoon. This used to be a big Thursday thing. Did you know it was going to be Sunday afternoon?
I'm glad you asked that because I went over to my daughter's house for Mother's Day brunch know, with my wife and get to play with my granddaughter.
How's your granddaughter, Andy?
Fabulous.
How She's old?
She'll turn 2 in July.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What an age for a little girl. They're so sweet. Man.
Yes, they are. I'm enjoying every delicious second of it. So, you know, we get home and the Knicks and no, I don't even think the Knicks game was on yet. So it was the other game that was being played. It was the earlier of the two games. And I'm thinking, okay.
OKC Dallas.
Yeah, it must have been that. Maybe it was past
between games, or maybe it was at halftime.
No. I thought it was between games. It was noon. They did it at noon.
Holy shit. I didn't know it was that early. So they did it before everything.
Right. And I knew that they were doing it yesterday. Maybe because there's no Victor Wembanyama that it didn't think that.
Oh, it's a trash draft. Have you seen the mock drafts and who's in it? It's basically, it's like 4 guys from France, a couple more Serbians named Nikola, and a whole bunch of reaches and a few white stiffs thrown in the form of Klingon and Zach Edey, although Zach Edey is of mixed heritage, doesn't matter. But he's a stiff.
I also saw that Gary Parrish of CBS is projecting the Wizards take Reed Shepard. Reed Shepard.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Looks a generic 6'6" white shooter out of Kentucky.
Yeah, who, you know, he looks like a guy who might hang around the league for about 8 years. I mean, I could be dead wrong. He could become a superstar. But, you know, if that's the number 2 pick of the draft, that ought to tell you something there.
Yeah, Reed Shepard's 6'3", even, so he's not even a 6'6" guy. Dalton Knecht is a 6'6" wing slash shooter with some hops. He's projected to go somewhere in the top 10. But yeah, that pick has J.J. Redick written all over it. And while Redick was a mid-first-round pick and had a decent career, was not a franchise trajectory changer. And you're talking number 2 overall. So they have you guys taking this, first of all, the CBS Sports mock draft has Alex Sarr, S-A-R-R, from France.
France.
7'1", 217 pounds. Now, I want you to channel your best Ken Beatrice to tell me what you think of a guy who's that tall and that skinny.
Well, he's going to get rocked in the middle. I mean, 217, my God. And that's probably with the thumb on the scale.
That's soaking wet with quarters in his pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so Alex, I know. Well, this is the Wembanyama effect. They're all hunting for the next 7-foot European with all court skills and can shoot. They have the Wizards taking Stephon Castle, point guard from UConn, and they said he was the unsung star of UConn's title-winning team. He routinely drew the toughest assignments. However, he averaged 11 points, 5 boards, only 3 assists per game, which for a point guard seems a bit low, Andy. And his 3-point percentage in college was 26.7. Woof.
Not good. How about the big guy? Where's he projected? The guy from
Zach Edey?
No.
Klingon? Klingon is projected 9th overall.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't even play that much in his first year. So to me, that's, you know, big men develop differently. I understand that. But, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if this is the new permanent spot for this, but maybe the NBA knew this was going to be a very, very prospect type draft. In this mock draft for the first round, there's two players from the G League Ignite team, which has now been disbanded. Are you familiar with the G League Ignite team?
No. Yeah, I did hear something about it, but I never saw them play.
So well, no get this. Though. So in other words, the G League had one team that was made up of half veterans who have been around and then half young prospects who didn't want to go to college.
Right, and they're making good money, too, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, decent. Better than working at, you know, Circuit City.
Yeah.
That store's closed, by the way. Yes, thanks.
Circuit City.
Better than working at Bennigan's, okay? That's one of the...
That store's closed, too!
Circuit City. I went to a going out of business sale there.
What'd you pick up? A CD player for the car?
No, actually, my son had a gift certificate from his bar mitzvah. At that point, he was like 15, and so he was use it or lose it. I think we went there and bought a TV with it or something like that.
Oh, my God. That's funny as hell. Yeah. So these guys you've never heard of, some G League guys from the Ignite team, and just a bunch of reaches. It's going to be a bad draft.
There's a guy next year, Cooper something, the kid from Maine, who's a big white guy's going to Duke. Surprise!
Oh, what a shocker that is, huh?
Yeah, and by the way, this was, as Hubie would say, a staggering stat. Do you know the last white American player to go number one?
Hold on, it was not Sean Bradley. He went number two.
I think that's right.
To the Sixers. The last 1-1 might have been Ronnie Cicely, if you count him as American, but he's Greek.
And I don't think he went 1-1.
Okay, he probably didn't go 1-1. Rex Chapman.
No, did not go 1-1.
Wow. Cooper Flagg is the guy you're looking at.
Cooper Flagg, right.
6'8", 200 pounds, dominant defensive player, and can score as well. Dribble, pass, and shoot, 5-tool guy, 6'8", going to Duke. Comps to Scottie Pippen or Andre Kirilenko, plus. Right. Whatever that means. Andre Kirilenko plus, but better than Andre Kirilenko, AK-47. Who was the last whitey that went number one?
Kent Benson, 1977. Yeah.
Well, that would be something right there. So anyhow, back to the Wizards and the second overall pick. Are you going to weigh in with a suggestion or a choice or an official stance on this?
I have no idea.
Don't care.
I hope they trade it. I hope they are in a position to draft Cooper Flagg next year if he's that good. Okay. Because, look, and here's what tanking does for you these days. Look at the Pistons. 14 wins, and they're picking number 5. You can't even tank properly anymore.
Right. Well, could you imagine doing local radio and you and I trying to mount a segment or two on the upcoming draft? I don't know if I could do it anymore. Maybe once upon a time I could have done it, but you know that Grant and Danny will dig into it. Those nerds, they'll love it. Oh, we should get this guy. And I'd say nerds with all due respect, but that's who they are. They're sports guys.
Yeah, well, Danny does know the NBA. He does.
I know.
He does study it. But
I'm not saying he doesn't know it. I'm just saying that's what they will do. And I guess if you like it, you'll lap it up. I would have a hard time doing it.
Yeah. It's you just don't know these players anymore. And now with the European influence and the ones going to the G League for a year, you don't know who these guys are. I don't know. It's a lot different than it used to be.
Meanwhile, you mentioned Duke. In a scene that is almost worthy of a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode, Jerry Seinfeld was the commencement address speaker at Duke, which is a great get. An A-level comedian and television star. Oh, my God, this is great. And yet a small number of righteous morons decided they were going to walk out as protest because they feel like Seinfeld has been too pro-Israel in the war against Hamas. Mm-hmm. You gotta be fucking kidding me.
And he said, I'll always stand with Israel. I'm a Jewish guy who grew up in New York.
Right. What do you expect, for God's sakes?
Right, right. So, you know, there's a lot of that going on the campuses. And not only that, well, these at least were students, graduates, but a lot of the protesters don't even go to the school there. They're just there.
No, they're ringers. Protest. They're professional protesters. And they're getting paid to be there. That's crazy. Did you listen to any of his speech?
I just saw the highlights that they had on the news. I didn't listen to much
here's,
of it. No.
Here's Jerry's three rules for life.
$1.29 for a box of 10. I can follow up with a car turn signal switch that has a nice feel to it. A pizza crust that collapses with just the right amount of pressure. I have truly spent my life focusing on the smallest things imaginable, completely oblivious to all the big issues of living. Find something where you love the good parts and don't mind the bad parts too much. The torture you're comfortable with. This is the golden path to victory in life.
The torture you are comfortable with. Agree? Mm-hmm. Disagree? Yeah.
Yes, agree. Of course.
Okay. All right. Very good. Are you aware of the dating site Bumble?
Oh, yeah. My son met his fiance there.
Okay. Do you know that Bumble, which had positioned itself as the one dating site where the women are in charge, the women make the first move, has announced a significant change to the terms of their platform? Do you know what that change is?
What's that?
Now women don't have to make the first move.
Hmm.
Do you know why? They found research that said women considered it to be more effort than they cared for.
Oh, my. Well, my understanding is that both the man and the woman feed in their information.
Yes.
And the woman is presented with the man, and she says, do you want him to call you or not? I think the man has to actually make the call,
but
she has to green light it. That's how I understand.
Okay. Well, it's getting crazier because Bumble founder Whitney Wolf Heard, that's her name, H-E-R-D, said the future of dating is actually having your AI avatar inside their platform date other people's AI avatar,
then
come back and say, well, we ran a 3-month simulation of dating and it's not going well. So maybe you should skip this one. Here, listen to Ms. Heard.
Our focus with AI is to help create more healthy and equitable relationships. And that also starts with yourself. How can we actually teach you how to date? How can we help you show up in a better way?
Give me an example.
Okay, so for example, you could in the near future be talking to your AI dating concierge, and you could share your insecurities. I just came out of a breakup. I have commitment
issues. I got a small penis.
And it could help you train yourself into a better way of thinking about yourself. And then it could give you productive tips for communicating with other people. If you want to get really out there, there is a world where your dating concierge could go and date for you with other dating concierge. truly. And then you don't have to talk to 600 people. It will scan all of San Francisco for you and say, these are the three people you really ought to meet.
Okay. Your thoughts on that?
Whatever happened to at Winston's, can I buy you a drink?
Exactly. The other problem is, okay, so you get the best artificially intelligence refined match that has been simulated, road tested within the algorithm, but then you still got to spend time with the other person. And as we know, Andy, people are messy. And they have things called moods, and they change on a whim for reasons that are hard to even understand when you're the person whose mood has changed. Why am I in a bad mood? Why am I in a good mood? Don't really know exactly. So then you got to spend time with that person. Also, get a load of this. This is the best description of the conundrum of dating apps. Ready? Mm-hmm. The business of dating apps is to sell you the idea of finding your forever person, but not ever actually doing it, because once you do, you're an ex-user. You're no longer of any value to them. They can't make any money off of you.
So they don't want to really match up people. What they want are just people to keep cycling through Rumble is what you're saying.
Right, exactly. They say that, you know, you know, you have a great first date, cool, but you have seven more potential first dates waiting. What if one of them seems marginally hotter, smarter, more charismatic? You have an infinite or near infinite stream of constant options. And, you know, for every date you go on, the attractive men can easily get addicted to, look at this body count I'm racking up. And for the women, they can then get addicted to the, hey, one single ick and he's out, and go on to the next guy. It's not a flaw. It's a feature of these platforms. They make money from the idea of finding a relationship, but making sure you never really do.
Well, you know, and some people like to be constantly dating. I think a lot of people get married because they're sick of dating. I think there's a lot of that.
1,000%. It's a give up for a lot of people.
And also, you know, I can see this happening. They run their simulation and they say, oh, yeah, you're a really good match. The two get married. And then they divorce and they sue. They sue Bumble for, hey, you told us this was going to work out based on the simulation.
Well, I would hope that happening. I would hope that they have good, good lawyers at Bumble that say we are not on the hook for however this comes out. Because I'm sure there have been murders that have come from relationships started on social, on dating platforms. You can't hold them responsible. Hey, man, you hooked me up with an axe murderer. We didn't know. We didn't know. He didn't put it into his profile. Oh, by the way, I like to split heads open on the weekend for fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. Aren't you glad you and I are out of that?
It's way better than passion.
Oh, sorry about that. Sorry, Jerry Seinfeld.
I guess. I mean, I really like my future daughter-in-law. My son seems happy with her. They seem happy with each other. So in this case, it seemed to work out. But I guess there's a lot of problems with the app.
All right. Last one here. Wow, people really got their tongues a-wagging when new Commanders head coach Dan Quinn showed up at a public event, unannounced, unsolicited, wearing an old Redskins shirt.
Well, wait. You got a couple of the facts wrong.
Oh.
This was at minicamp. I saw this. This was on Saturday.
Okay.
And there's a media availability with Dan Quinn before they had their second day of practice with the rookies. He was wearing a shirt which has the W logo of the team.
Oh.
And it had, but it had feathers hanging from a corner of the W.
Oh.
And it was not an officially licensed shirt, which is problem number one, because the NFL doesn't like that. They get millions and millions of dollars a year from Nike, so they can't have knockoff products being worn. The second part of this is that it is reminiscent of the days that they had a name that was determined to be racist and has been changed. And it has everybody wondering, are they going to go back to Redskins? They're not going to go back to Redskins. But is it going to have something with Native American imagery, which is going to cause another firestorm again? And I would think that Quinn, having been a head coach in the NFL before with Atlanta, that would understand that you just can't do that. And he's also been in Washington since, January when he was hired. Doesn't he understand the hot button that this pushes when he wears that? That was totally surprising to me.
Who gave him that shirt?
I don't know. And he was not asked about it at the news conference. I'm guessing that somebody sent it to him in the mail. He looked at it and he goes, this is nice. I'll put it on. And it's either that or this is a carefully orchestrated move on the part of the team. Let's try this as a trial balloon. Let's see what the reaction is if you wear this shirt. I don't think it's that, but it could be.
I'm looking at it right now, and I got to be honest, Andy, the feathers alone have got me stiff. The feathers alone are enough to go, that's right. That's what they looked like back on the old helmet. Sounds like you're very much against it, that the feathers ain't worth the hassle.
Well, it just can't happen because remember, when the new owners took over, and Josh Harris and Mitch Rales, two Jewish boys who grew up in the area, and they were referencing the days when they were fans growing up in the 70s and the 80s, and they kept using the word Redskins, and some people went, what does that mean? Do they want to change it back? And it finally got to the point where they had to be asked about it. They said, no, we're not going to change it back. They haven't ruled out changing the name of the team, but they said you can rule out the idea of going back to the Redskins. That's not going to happen. But when something like this happens and it's the off season and you got nothing to do but go, oh, look at that, look at that, look at that.
Yeah.
We'll see where it goes.
Okay. Well, if you ask me, if they came back with the old logo and called the team the Washington Warriors, I'd say giddy up. You would not be for that. You don't think it's worth the trouble to even go backwards 1 inch, even one pair of feathers dangling from a W.
Well, look, I would not be opposed if they went back to Warriors. They're not going to go to Redskins. It's not going to happen.
That won't happen. That's a bridge too far. But
Right. Seeing
the feathers, I can understand how the fan base would get super horny.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, you can buy that shirt at a, it's of course non-licensed, boutiquelou.com, L-O-U, whatever the fuck that is. They're like Dan Quinn Commander's shirt. It's got the feathers on it.
I imagine, and the other thing that was really, you know, that made it a bigger deal is the team was asked about it and refused to comment. It wasn't like, oh yeah, Dan, you know, had that in his office and inadvertently put it on. It was no comment.
The old regime had a spin for stupid Dan Snyder's Happy Thanksgiving comments when they hired. That spin zone was out within hours after the gaffe happened. The fact that they couldn't say, oh yeah, you know what, there was some demo mocked up shirts that were lying around in Redskins Park. I bet Coach Quinn just found one after working out and put it on, didn't think twice about it, but we were supposed to take those out of the public areas and ship them back to the manufacturer who made them for us. They could have said that would have been an easy excuse, but they didn't, which means I think it is a trial balloon.
I don't know.
I think it's a trial balloon. Did the balloon escape the gunfire of outrage from the usual suspects? Yes or no?
It seems to have, because I haven't seen, you know, they're friends of mine, but they're very outspoken about this. Christine Brennan and Kevin Blackstone, I haven't seen a column yet. So I don't know. But
they could be lying in wait. You never know. Column could already be written, and she just has to hit send on the keyboard. We don't know.
Could be, but there's more that she has to find out. I mean, I don't think she can write a column without getting some kind of explanation from, I mean, they're supposed to be on Tuesday. They're supposed to be OTAs. I think of media availability for Quinn. I would almost be certain that he'll be asked about it.
All right. Feathergate to be continued. I will settle for the Washington Comanches, which would have that C sort of ring to it, but no logo. So in other
Comanches
words, W with feathers and Comanches, or the old logo with Washington Warriors. I'll take either one.
Okay, but if it goes to Warriors, can we put you down for a possibility of reclaiming a seat?
Yes.
But it
has to have the old dignified Indian head logo.
Which was
designed by a Native American.
I understand that. You're not going to get that.
Blackie Wetzel!
You're not
read your history, people.
You're not going to get. You might though get the W instead of the R. And I never liked that helmet. They wore it for 2 years, the yellow helmet with the R, and then it had a feather hanging out of it. You could possibly see that with a W if they go to Warriors. If that flies,
yellow helmet with the taco holder W and the feathers dangling. That's a chubby right there. It's not going to get me back, but it's a little bit closer. All right. Andy, as always, a pleasure, my friend. Enjoy the rest of this glorious Monday afternoon, and we will talk to you next week.
All right, Zach. Take care.
Let me end with a little bit of history. Things I learned while driving around Virginia with my sister, Anne Marie. Very sharp woman. 9 years my junior. Only one to get into UVA. Of myself and my brother, she was the smart one. So she told me, because I recounted to her how driving down to CNU for graduation, I saw a sign on the side of the highway on 95 saying Stonewall Jackson death site, you know, this exit. And I'm like, oh, old Stonewall Jackson, otherwise known by birth as Thomas Jonathan Jackson, the legendary general in the Confederate Army, also known as Old Jack, Old Blue Light, and Tom Fool. And I thought to myself, okay, I'm not a huge Civil War buff. I don't know what's at the death site, but I don't know. Maybe if I'm super bored one time. My sister, Anne Marie, said, you know, a lot of these so-called official historical sites, in fact, most of them, at least in Virginia, maybe beyond, aren't regulated by anybody. I go, like, what do you mean? She said, well, it's not like the government says, we're going to declare this. I do declare an official historic site. It's just whoever comes up with the money to pay for the highway signs or a certain amount of, okay, if you want to have a site, you have to have a certain amount of parking and you have to pay for that. I don't know what it is, but she said she heard about it on this NPR, not quite podcast, but an NPR story on the drive down. And of course, you might imagine there are the Daughters of the Confederacy behind many of these sites to keep the Confederacy and the history of it alive. Now, I am not in favor of erasing history. You can't erase history. And the taking down of monuments is one of the colossally stupider things that has been happening in the last several years, ever since the George Floyd riots. There is, by the way, a Confederate name comeback of sorts. I'm shocked by this. Virginia school board overturns old vote and renames two schools after Confederate icons. This would be Shenandoah School Board 5-1 to rename Mountain View as Stonewall Jackson High. There you go. And Honey Run Elementary as Ashby Lee Elementary. Friday's vote reverses a decision by the school board in 2020 at a time when school systems across the South are removing Confederate named schools in response to the Black Lives Matter movement. Okay. History's history, people. And while we've moved on from it, taking these things down does nothing other than wastes money. And there are people saying, hey, we should put it back. It's part of our history. I'm not weighing in on that other than don't take them down. That said, I don't know if there's anything good at the Stonewall Jackson death site, but be aware of this. If you do go and you're hoping to see his left arm, it's not going to be there. Why? Because that's buried somewhere else. As Jackson and his staff were returning to camp on May 2nd in 1879, sentries of the 18th North Carolina Infantry Regiment, in fact, his own side's soldiers, mistook the group for Union cavalry. The sentries shouted, "Halt! Who goes there?" but fired before evaluating the reply. Frantic shouts by Jackson's staff identified the party, and a second volley was fired in response when they said, "It's a damned Yankee trick! Fire!" Obviously, they didn't have a lot of military discipline back then. Several of Jackson's men and many horses were killed in the attack. Jackson was hit by three bullets, two in the left arm and one in the right hand. The arm was amputated, and 8 days later, Stonewall Jackson, or Old Blue Light, or Tom Fool, succumbed to his injuries and, of course, pneumonia. So they decided that they would bury his body it's in the Wilderness of Orange County near the field hospital. That's where the arm is. Excuse me. His body was moved to the governor's mansion in Richmond for the public to mourn, and they was moved to be buried in Oak Grove Cemetery in Lexington. So Stonewall's in Lexington. His arm, though, is in the near the field hospital in Wilderness of Orange County at the J. Horace Lacey House, or Elwood, as it's called. The things you learn looking at signs on the side of the road and with a smart sister who says, you know, none of these things are regulated. Hey, kids, want to load up the car? It's a 95-degree July day. Yeah, where are we going? Water park? No, we're first going to go see where Stonewall Jackson is lying under a grave, decomposed. And then we're going to go see where his arm is. Sound fun? We could get some Sonic. Huh? Anybody? That'll be it for me today. Thanks for listening. As always, subscribe and get these podcasts sparkling free of any crass commercial messages, as well as get Fridays in addition with Scott and Solly, the OGs of the old Fox Sports Radio first team days. Have a great Tuesday, and we will see you next time. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up.
Growing businesses and finance professionals, you need Bill Spend and Expense, the free-to-use spend management software. It's powered by the Bill Divvy Corporate Card, which helps growing companies scale with credit lines of $500 to $15 million, automated expense reports, and as many virtual cards as you need. For a limited time, get $500 when you get started with Bill Spend and Expense. Request a demo at bill.com/get500. Terms and conditions apply. Advertised credit ranges are not guaranteed and are determined at approval. Card issued by Cross River Bank, member FDIC.